Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 53. It's myself and it's the human subtitle. Jamie, how are things?
Yeah, all right, Royce. A long, drawn out off season as always, isn't it? But we're in draft mode now, so it feels like football is coming back to some extent.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Mike has been called away tonight. He just has some emergency works he's had to get done. So Jamie is joining me, and in true UK Cowboys fashion, I'm the goose to Jamie's maverick tonight.
I think you're selling yourself short there, bro. I think it's like, yeah, I'm your Robin.
We'll agree to disagree on that one, Jamie. But look, before we kind of get into things on the draft side of the house, look, obviously we need to address what's happened since last Friday. You know, we're into the second week of free agency, and we've seen plenty of moves happen with the Dallas Cowboys. Friday night, unfortunately, in the state of drunken stupidity, I saw a tweet coming through that Tyron Smith was going to the Jets, and nearly broke my sides laughing. And then on Saturday morning, I saw it was true. That one's hurting, is it?
I'm surprised we didn't get a full on Brian rant, to be fair, when that one came out.
Absolutely. And Joe, it's great to have you with us as always. Folks, make sure if you're watching, drop us your comments, drop us your thoughts, your opinions. We can only get your comments through the Facebook link and the YouTube links. So if you're trying to message us on Twitter or anything like that, it doesn't come through. We can't see it. So we'd suggest moving on to either YouTube or our Facebook group, and you should be able to see us from there. But Joe saying, look, losing Tyron Smith will hurt us. You know, I mean, what's your own thoughts on that?
I think it depends on how you look at it, really, don't you? The player he was, yeah, arguably, at the time, the best left tackle in the game. But I think a lot of us said for quite a long time, I think you've got to look at it from a personal standpoint of life after football. You've got to think of that, haven't you? Because age-wise, he's still young. Football-wise, maybe not. But when was the last time we got a full season at Tyron Smith? And if you actually look, as much as if this league has gone to the Jets, but if you actually look at the contract that he's got from the Jets, a lot of it is based on time that he's going to play. So it shows maybe how nervous they are of how injured he gets, but also they see what the potential that we have and of what it can be. I think and it's a lot of sports teams do it. I think sometimes you kind of look at a person for what they were, and that's no knock on time. Like I say, we all, Father Time comes to us all. Yeah. And as much as I would say, probably was maybe time to move on. It just obviously then leaves this door open of what the Cowboys do in the draft now. We know what they've done or what they haven't done in free agency. Everyone's got their opinions on that. But it's just another revolving door in the whirlwind that's the Cowboys, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's great to see Steve is with us tonight. And Steve is saying, we're not doing a 12-win season next year.
I agree. 100%.
I think we're still being a little bit harsh on the Cowboys. Like, we still have an All-Pro at quarterback, an All-Pro at wide receiver, an All-Pro at right guard, an All-Pro at left guard. You have an All-Pro on the back end. in Daron Bland. You have the interception leader from the previous year coming back next season. You have Micah Parsons. You know, like, yes, we've moved on from some players, but we still have an awful lot of talent.
Yeah, but I think you look at it then to kind of look at it from another angle. We haven't got a running back one. Could add, you haven't got a running back two. We haven't. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation with Mike over there. Have we really got a wide receiver two and three that mm-hmm. are really dynamic, which leads into another whole new topic of conversation when it comes to the draft. Like you said, we haven't got a left tackle. We haven't got a centre. We've pretty much got no linebackers. We've got weak. Had to be in the middle of the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And I get kind of, I'm having this conversation with Matt on the way to work the other day. I, at the minute, see the Cowboys second, maybe even third best in the NFC East. Why I say that is, and yeah, players have left, and you can say what you want about the players that have left and gone to Washington. But then you look at it on another way that, yeah, are they really going to light up the league? No, but like, for instance, the guys that the Washington have signed mm-hmm. from us, they've improved on what they had on last year. So the three teams in the NFC East have improved. We've got weaker.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I think the point I try and look at with especially the players who've gone to Washington, like, were you going to pay Tyler Biadasz $10 million a season? I think it's an overpay. Dorrance Armstrong $15 million APY. That's an overpay as well. Who's the other guys that are gone up to Washington?
Dante Fowler has gone up there, are they?
Dante Fowler, which we kind of thought might happen. And then Noah Igbinoghene. The guy was a healthy scratch for the second half of the season. So it's guys Dan Quinn wanted, and he's either overpaid for them or he's taken a chance on them.
True, but it was a few weeks ago on one of the Cowboys podcasts, and Nate Newton came out of it, and there was specific, and I think at the time they were specifically talking about the center position, and they were saying, if you're going to let this guy walk, you better damn well bring somebody in that's at least on par with him or somebody better, which you would hope to think. But it all stems back, and I get where it's coming from, and it would be interesting to see comments of what everybody thinks and kind of the workings of the mind of the front office of if Jerry came out and said, we are all in. Stephen Jones then came out and said, when we said we're all in, we don't mean necessarily in free agency. Now, that is true, but if you are all in, regardless of, yeah, we all know that first day of free agency is a minefield in terms of money. It gets thrown about in and everywhere. But if you're all in, you are going to go out and you're going to get some of these big name free agents. Like, I think, was it RJ made a comment around the end of day one? And to be fair, it rings quite true. I can't remember the name of the guy now. The guy that left the Colts and went to the Bengals, the running back, and he got a two year $8 million deal.
Zach Cowboys,
yeah, the Cowboys said Cowboys were apparently interested, but the Cowboys said that was too rich. And if the Cowboys are saying that it's too rich for a $4 million deal a year for a running back,
yeah,
I'm gonna get worried, especially regardless of what you think of Pollard. Yeah. It was an overpay by Tennessee for what we had with him.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting running back one, you're going to have to go out and spend a little bit of money. Like, the money Derek Henry got, and I know there's got to be moves made and whatever, but if you're coming out and saying you're all in, these moves to free up all this cap space should have been done weeks, if not months ago. You've lost. And to be fair, you could look at it from the last couple of years, and I know it's kind of gone on around a tangent. So we let Zeke go.
Yeah.
If you're letting Zeke go, I know his production wavered and went off, but you've got to bring in somebody just as good as what he was. We had the same when Travis Frederick left. I think that count very much. That probably count the Cowboys off guard. I don't think anybody saw that coming. But you lose a centre like that, you've got to go out and you've got to draft a damn well good one, or you go out and pay money for one. If you're all in, all in's not going and drafting a few players in there and then getting bargain free agents off the street. It's just not. This team is not all in for me. This team will not win. And I know it's the off-season, and I say, but this team won't win the Super Bowl this year. Not a chance on earth.
I'm just after seeing something flash up there. Jonathan Hankins is gone. He is expected to sign with the Seattle Seahawks.
See, another interior lineman. I suppose the only one good thing about how free agency is planned out for the Cowboys is it completely throws open what they're going to do in the first three rounds of the draft. Everyone assumes that the Cowboys are going to take a tackle. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if they don't take an offensive tackle. I was having this conversation with Matt the other day. If Thomas Junior from LSU was there at 24, it would not surprise me one bit if the Cowboys drafted a wide receiver at 24.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that, this is no disrespect to anybody else, but yeah, you got CeeDee Lamb, but if you see what Thomas did at LSU, he can stretch the field for you. He gives Dak another, you know, same, and they're clearly all in on Dak, regardless of our thoughts and personal thoughts and feelings of what we think of Dak. It gives him another target. But also, there could well be a damn good centre there at 24. The best linebacker in the draft is probably going to be there at 24. There's going to be one of two damn well good Longhorn nose tackles in the draft that's going to be probably there at 24. Not that we need one, but there could be a tight end there at 24. That's arguably the best tight end in this draft. So it just, and to be honest, and not say, like I say, I can't see the Cowboys, but there could also be two pretty good quarterbacks there at 24. And if the Cowboys are not in on Dak, they could potentially have a choice of two, depending on how the top end of the draft goes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that there is going to be an announcement soon on Dak's new contract. The freeing up of cap room that they did recently was with Dak's knowledge, so I'd say that is going to be good. And as DJ Dog says here, with plenty of Longhorns in the house, our pro day is tomorrow.
Yes,
you know, and you forgot to include there is probably going to be two Texas wide receivers available at 24.
Exactly. And just touching back on the Dak thing, I think I say when there's something gets announced, surely, I mean, like I say, they've got to free up some more cap space in there somehow. Personally, I'm not going to bang on. I've made my feelings known about it, but I think if the Cowboys don't extend him, I think that says a lot. And I think that says that the Cowboys are willing to at least see what happens in 2024 before offering the contract. But that's a talk for another day, isn't it? We've banged on this Dak drum as the season wore out and over the off season. I look forward to the draft. Draft night for me is, as much as I love going out and getting drunk on the Super Bowl night with friends and family. Draft night is one of the nights I absolutely love. it's one of my favourite days on the NFL calendar. It's just, there's just so much going to happen. And like I say, not just personally from the Cowboys, from any other team, like how many times someone falls or someone gets picked higher than they expected. It's just good. There's much excitement in that as it is in the game for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first holiday I always book every year.
Yeah.
It's great. Look, folks, it is great to see plenty of comments coming in from everybody. Joe has been saying offensive line with first two picks is a must. Joe, we're going to touch on that later on. I'm just trying to find the comment here. I think it was from DJ Dog. He says, at 24, we need a left tackle, but may have to pick player better suited for guard or center. Too many holes to fill to think best player available. And again, we're going to kind of touch on that when we get to the draft part of tonight's show. The second big news that kind of broke on Friday, it was before the Tyron Smith news, was obviously the Cowboys have released Leighton Vander Esch with an injury designation. And pretty much hot on the heels of that, they also announced that Michael Gallup would be a post-June 1 cut to the roster. So the whole of the 2018 draft class is now out of the building. And subsequent to that, Leighton Vander Esch announced his own retirement yesterday. You know, the body has just given up on him after six seasons. He can't go on. You know, I think you've met Leighton Vander Esch, haven't you?
No, it was Paul that met him.
Yeah. I mean, what were your own thoughts on both the news from Gallup and obviously the retirement of Leighton?
In terms of Leighton Vander Esch, gutted for him because we saw flashes. Not that he was as good as Sean Lee, but it was kind of that. It was the injuries just ended up being more there. When it came to drafting him, if memory serves me right, around that time we had Brian Broaddus on, and we was like, look, and we was talking to him, and we said, he was like, yeah, look, it's likely going to be linebacker. The Cowboys was in such a dire need, and I was like, and we were saying, it's the injuries. He came out of college with neck, obviously it was neck issues, and
yeah,
it was, and like I said, the Cowboys medical team have got arguably the best medical team in sport, so they don't mind taking a risk. But that was my worry coming out, and saying you just couldn't stay healthy. Gallup towards the end was the same, and I think the injury when he was on target to potentially be wide receiver one didn't help. I wouldn't even say he didn't come back the same, because I don't think he had the opportunity, because other people stepped up and probably hampered him coming back into the team. I'm surprised with the Vander Esch thing, in terms of I didn't think that it would probably end up being a retirement. I fully expected him to see him on another roster next year. Gallup doesn't surprise me one bit. I just think the Cowboys have seen what they've got in other receivers that will probably make that move a little easier, like I say. And he'd arguably dropped from potentially, he could have gone to another team a few years ago as a wide receiver one. He was struggling to be wide receiver three for the Cowboys last year. So that's not as much of a punch in the gut as if it would have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a very fair point. Like, obviously, we've re-signed a few players in terms of Trent Sieg is back, CJ Goodwin is back, Jordan Lewis is back. I'm missing someone. I know I'm missing someone. You know, is there anyone else you want to see back in terms of a Dallas free agent, or, you know, is there anyone out there that you're going, you know, come on, let's kick the tires on these guys?
Hankins, but obviously that's just come through that he's leaving. I thought we had something there. I probably would have liked to have seen Dante Fowler come back, to be fair.
Yeah.
He, like you say, not a starter who's going to blow you out of the league, but he was productive when he was on the field. Apart from that, to be fair, not really anybody, just for the fact that this team needs a real good shake-up.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see the Cowboys get a full rebuild. While the Cowboys are raking in the funds, they're never going to do a full rebuild.
Both Joe and DJ Dog are, and it was the obvious one for me, they're both calling for Stephon Gilmore to be brought back.
Yeah, true, actually. Yeah, sorry, I completely forgot about Gilmore, so I agree on that. But again, it's kind of like the Gallup thing, as much as it's hard to see him go. You know what I mean? We saw another cornerback step up while Trayvon Diggs was out. So I think that makes it probably easier for the Cowboys to say we feel comfortable not re-signing Gilmore, just for the fact that we've got our cornerback one and cornerback two in the building already.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing for me would be is that you need four starting quality cornerbacks in this league. You have Diggs, you know, you have him long term. Bland has probably played himself out of getting a second contract because it's just going to be too expensive when it comes around. And then you're left with Jordan Lewis as your, you know, as your third guy. And we all love J. Lew. He's not splashy, he's not spectacular, but he'll get the job done most of the time. You know, but outside of that, right now you're looking at Israel Mukwamu, Nishon Rice as your other backups. And I mean, if any of the first three guys go down, we're in trouble.
That's what I mean, especially when you look at probably the Nishon Wright one more than anything, with how high the Cowboys drafted him, and he's just not panned out. This was supposed to be a happy show, Brian. We've just completely just ruined it, and we're just like, we might just crack up and then whiskey, aren't we, and just run.
I'm already on it. But to be fair, and look, this is a very valid point that Joe raises. We really don't know how healthy Diggs will be coming back from his injury. And look, we spoke about Michael Gallup a couple of minutes ago. I mean, Michael never returned as the same player. So it is something to bear in mind. Mm-hmm. And DJ Dog saying, look, at big years for Mazi, Shoemaker, Richards, Overshow, and TJ Bass. I'd throw Brock Hoffman into the mix there as well. You know, in terms of players that we're hoping we'll get something from in 2024.
I know. Let's say when I had the conversation with Mike the other day, we was kind of briefly talking about it, and he was saying that he thinks Hoffman might well be the starting centre next year.
Yeah.
But then is it that thing of you throwing hope on the unknown because he not played a massive amount.
Mm-hmm.
So it then again steps to the whole thing what we're all a bit peeved about.
Yeah.
We're all in. If you're all in, you don't. It's better. I say, I'm not saying it's any easier or any harder, but we've seen how, what's the word, how unorthodox the centre player's been the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, That's got to be on point. That's got to be Frederick, that kind of thing of they trust each other, they know how each other think. It's got to be that. If you're all in, you're not risking it on someone that's not played centre before. Yeah. Or not played a lot of centre, should I say.
Yeah. I mean, we did that article last week, Jamie, and we discussed bringing in a centre. Connor Williams is still available in free agency if you wanted to maybe kick the tires on that. Whilst he was here, there was always talk maybe we'd switch him to centre. As soon as he went to Miami, he went to centre. So maybe something to keep an eye on.
True. But we touched on it a few weeks ago. One of the things, can we just have a centre that plays centre, please, not a guard that is converted to centre? It's, we've had over the last few years, we've had too many misharmonised. In some aspect, they sound great, but no, just give me a centre who can play centre, who has played centre. Give me a safety who plays centre. That's how he plays safety, not he can play linebacker. There you go, Steve. But on, if he's there, I would hand the card in pretty quick. Because he looks quite a beast at centre. He is what we need. The only dilemma is then if he's there, and then if Titan's there, do you go tackle or do you go centre? Because it's quite a deep draft for tackles, so you could get a decent one in the second round.
Yeah.
And then do you sit there and go, right, let's pull the trigger on at 24 and go centre, and then pick up a good tackle in round two. See, that's what we're saying, the draft's so intriguing, because the Cowboys will probably not even do that, and the Cowboys will probably take a safety at frigging 24 and then just throw it all completely out for whack.
So that is a beautiful segue into what we are going to actually discuss tonight. So before the show started, I was explaining to Jamie that I have four scenarios written down here in front of me. All right. And the first two scenarios are the Cowboys pick at 24, they pick at 56, they pick at 89 and don't trade. The second two scenarios, the Cowboys trade. And what we're going to do is myself and Jamie are going to discuss and weigh up which side of these deals we'd fall on. So the first scenario I have, and just for people, as we say, we always try and flag this for you. Watch who the Cowboys are interviewing. Watch whose pro days the Cowboys are going to. Watch who they bring in for a 30 visit. Watch who comes in on a Dallas day. Watch who's played Shrine Bowl, East-West, Senior Bowl. These are all huge indicators. So most of these guys that I've picked have had several of those criteria ticked. So it's trying to be as realistic as possible for the Dallas Cowboys.
So get everybody else to comment as well, Brian, on which scenario they would choose. Well, let's see what how we all think on this.
Let's absolutely do it. So the first scenario that I'm going to give you, Jamie, right? At 24, we pick Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, out of LSU.
I know where this is going.
At 56, we pick offensive tackle Patrick Paul out of Houston. And at pick 89, the Cowboys pick Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas. Okay?
Right.
So, the other side of that is the Cowboys... Yeah, Joey... We caught that one all right. So just for anyone that's missed it, Jonathan Hankins is gone to Seattle. So the other side of this debate, Jamie, at 24, the Cowboys pick Tyler Guyton. At 56, the Cowboys pick Edgerrin Cooper. And at 89, they take Cedric Van Pran, the center out of Georgia. Folks, let us know what you think.
So let's have a look. So round one, we've got wide receiver, tackle, and a running back.
Yeah.
And then we've got... So what do we have, sorry, on...
On the other on the side, we...
Sorry.
On the other side, we've Tyler Guyton, an offensive tackle, Edgerrin Cooper, an off-ball linebacker, and Cedric Van Pran, who is a center.
Oh. I don't know why I hate this scenario, because I threw one of these on a mock draft the other day. Oh.
Yeah. I'm liking the fact that straight away we've split opinions. So DJ Dog likes the first scenario and Steve likes the second scenario. So just bear with me just while I type it up and put it as a banner here, folks.
Can I, do you know what, actually?
You can't trade.
No. Right, I'm gonna play a little devil's advocate and just kind of tweak it at the end and explain why. I'm gonna go option one.
Okay.
But if the third round choice on the second scenario was either the top two, one of the top two running backs, so out of Texas and out of Michigan, I would have picked scenario two.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the running backs is going to be there at three. It's just how much somebody likes the running back from Texas.
Yeah.
He could well go second round, which then leaves from Michigan. So if you were going to give me one of the running backs in scenario two, I'd take it. But because you don't, you've given me a running back option. In scenario one, I'm gonna go one. As much as option two is tempting to take, but I'd rather go running back in round three than center.
Okay. So in that scenario, right, you're getting a wide receiver, you're getting an offensive tackle, and you're getting a running back, which are we all agree are needs. In the second scenario, you're getting an offensive tackle, you're getting an off-ball linebacker, and you're getting a starting center. And that's, you know, I'm trying to make this as difficult as possible, that, you know, there's good debate. And as I say, DJ Dog has gone with one, Steve has gone with two. And that's what we want.
See, well, when you look at it as well, because you're getting what? In that first scenario, you're arguably either the third or fourth best wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
You're getting probably the best linebacker in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what, second, third best center at worst. The best running back in the draft.
Yeah.
And then on that second scenario, you're getting second, maybe third best tackle. You're getting top two, three at worst at that position in the draft. So it's like, that's why I just don't like you.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, this is why I tried to make it as realistic as possible. Like, all of these guys were formal interviews at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are realistically going to be available to the Cowboys at in each of these rounds where they're picking. Like, my thoughts on going with Thomas, Paul, and Brooks is that you're now getting a starting wide receiver too. You're getting Patrick Paul, who you could switch into guard, and you're then putting Tyler back at probably his better position, which is left tackle. And you're solving that problem you have in terms of a running back one. However, in that second scenario, you're getting a guy in Tyler Guyton who they have scouted extensively. They've gone to his pro day. Dane Brugler reckons that's the pick. You're getting Edrin Cooper, who's the best off-ball linebacker. And then Cedric Van Pran, who is a starting center, which we need. And that's why it's so difficult.
Yeah, but say that though, it'd be good to see everybody's thoughts of this scenario anyway. Give it a couple of weeks. It could well change. Like you say, once pro days have started to happen and...
Yeah.
Free agency kind of extend a little bit, so you kind of know more what the Cowboys are probably going to need. Trade come up.
Yeah, And I mean, we're going to get to trades in a few minutes. But I mean, the thing is, the Cowboys will cover themselves before the draft is done or before the draft gets here. And as you say, players will move up and down the board. So just because this is what we think right now, 2 years ago, none of us were talking about Tyler Smith and he shot up. None of us spoke about Mazi Smith last year. He was the pick. CeeDee Lamb fell a couple of years ago. None of us expected that. So strange things are going to happen in time. So, you know, and it's great to see, like DJ Dog saying, I really like Edgerrin Cooper. And Steve is agreeing with him. And then DJ Dog is also saying, he says, I think Patrick Paul is too tall to play guard, which is possible. But in that scenario, you could always leave him as your left tackle and keep Tyler Smith in at guard to protect your starting centre with two all-pro caliber guards beside him. So yeah, you're nailing your colours to the mast, Jamie. You're going with the first option in that case, are you?
Like I say, only because you've got the running back in there, and I just think, yeah, you're getting the best one. The top ranked one. Yeah, I was leaning more towards two, but it's just, I don't know. After the top two running backs, I don't know if you really get anybody else that could maybe contribute in year one. Whereas you might at center, if you could maybe even lean to a bit later in the draft. I know you probably don't want to do, but.
Yeah,
it seemed deeper than running back. So and like I say, you could ask me in 2 weeks, and I could probably completely change your mind.
Yeah, this is the full joys of it. And DJ Dog, I fully concur with your comment here on Jaden Wright. If he was the third pick on our second option, I'd choose that. I didn't see Jaden Wright as being a formal or an informal interview, so that's why I didn't select him. I know there has been a good bit of talk about him. He's the offensive tackle out of Tennessee. But because like that, we're trying to think along the lines of what the Cowboys do and how they do things in the past few years, I didn't see him as being a viable option. But look, stranger things have happened. CeeDee Lamb ended up as a Dallas Cowboy. So, Jamie, scenario number two for you. You can have J.C. Latham, Keon Coleman, and Curtis Jacobs. Or you can have Adey Mitchell, Kamari Lassiter, and Audric Estime.
So, give me two straight away.
That didn't take any time at all. And look, folks, make sure and get in your comment. And as I say, look, I can see there's an awful lot of people are following us on Twitter. We can't see comments coming through from Twitter, so we would suggest joining us on our YouTube channel, which is UK Cowboys Fans, or through our Facebook group, and you'll definitely be able to comment that way. So, Jamie, you were straight in there in terms of your choice. So, discuss.
You have an explosive offensive weapon, and it's just too good to not take. I know there's someone he's this team that has, but like I say, at 24, if someone like that is there, you're almost chucking the card in before it's announced that the Cowboys are even on the clock. It's just too good to turn down, is that one.
Very good. So you wouldn't go for Latham, who's probably the second or third best tackle in this class.
It's tempting, isn't it? But it's so deep on the offensive line in this draft, whereas you can still get a good starter third, fourth. So it's Again, that's me in 2 weeks, and I'll probably say something different.
So, again, just kind of to just tease it out a little bit. Like, I mean, again, we're giving you, say, J.C. Latham, again, a starting offensive tackle, which allows you to keep Tyler Smith at guard, where we probably really want to keep Tyler Smith. You're getting Keon Coleman, who has close links to the Dallas Cowboys. He's the first cousin of C.D. Lamb. And you're also getting Curtis Jacobs, who's a linebacker out of Penn State, and many people refer to him as the mini Micah Parsons. You know, so that's kind of why I went along that line. And then obviously, look, I gave you A.D. Mitchell, who's a wide receiver. I gave you Kamari Laster, who's a cornerback, and Audric Estime, who could come in and be a starting caliber running back. So, again, it's just trying to get ourselves into that mindset, right? What would the Cowboys do in this scenario? And, like, if you take a player for player, J.C. Latham or A.D. Mitchell, it's probably a toss-up as to what way the Cowboys would go on that.
Mm.
I think they might lean towards Latham in that scenario, but the other two guys on the second side are probably better players than Keon Coleman and Curtis Jacobs, which tilts it back, as you say, towards that A.D. Mitchell, Kamari Laster, and Audric Estime side of the house.
It's on the front office far this way. I wonder if they do that. I'm kind of, they sit there and just do like scenarios like that and be like, so who would you take in this scenario? It'd be pretty cool, actually, wouldn't it?
Well, that's the thing. That's what the Cowboys will be doing from the Saturday before the draft up to the Thursday or up to the Wednesday night, is basically they will be setting up the war room and going around scenarios like that. They'll have, you know, they'll have someone for each team. They'll have audit, or they'll have trade scenarios in their head that could pop up. You know, they'll have ideas of who teams are looking at. So it's just always good to, you know, try and tease it out a little bit. So we're going to give you a third scenario, Jamie. All right.
Oh.
So the Buffalo Bills ring you and ask you if you're willing to trade down to 28, and they'll give you a fourth round pick for that fourth spot drop to make the trade. Because we don't have a fourth round pick this year. We've traded that away. That's Trey Lance. So in this scenario, the Cowboys trade back to 28. You can have Jordan Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper. You get TJ Tampa and Cedric Van Pran. Or you can stay at 24. You get Xavier Worthy. You get Trey Benson, and you get Blake Fisher.
I'd say that first option, just like you say, because we haven't got a fourth.
Yeah.
And you're only going back four spots, and look at the caliber of players you get in there with that. That's, like you say, just... you're getting the best linebacker in the draft.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, like, that's no disrespect to the other players that you pick up in there, but it's the Cowboys have a dire need at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit like, I'm not saying it's going to be the same kind of player, but it's a little bit like when we drafted Micah Parsons, in terms of, mm-hmm, Cowboys knew who they wanted. It was going to be there. They traded back, as much as we didn't really like them trading back with who they traded back with.
Yeah.
They got the best linebacker in the draft, arguably the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah.
And got an extra pick. Cowboys pick up not just a player at need, but they pick up the best player in that position, and they also get a draft compensation to, like I say, to take back what the position threw away for Trey Lance. So I would take that scenario. Because as well, although you're dropping back four spots, you're getting that up, but you're also keeping that fifth-year option, which makes first-round picks in some ways priceless now. Because like you say, if you get someone and they ball out, you've always got the option of getting that extra year tacked on. And I don't think now it's worth trading out of the first and losing that option of the fifth rounder as well. So dropping back four spots wouldn't piss me off too much. Maybe so in terms of, because we'd all have to stay up late, even later, because of it's at that time it's going to be nearly, it's going to be around 3 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, isn't it? So what's an extra half hour to wait for the pick?
That is for sure. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised you so readily went for option one in that scenario, in that you're passing up on your much beloved Texas Longhorn in Xavier Worthy, the speed merchant, the man who can take the top off, the man who you could also use in the return or punt game. You're getting Trey Benson, who might be the second or third best running back in this class. And then you're getting Blake Fisher from the renowned offensive line school of Notre Dame.
True. But just to kind of throw a spanner in the works, I don't think Worthy will be there at 24. I think someone's going to be blown away by what he did at the combine. I'm not saying he's not worth getting high, but I just think what he did, I think he's pushed his stock up higher. And someone's going to take it before 24. If it's someone trades up, may well be, but I don't see him being there at 24. Yeah. He could well be one of the high risers that surprise people that go, because like I say, he's been predicted anyway, and if anywhere from 21 down, it wouldn't surprise me if he went in the late teens, maybe mid-teens, to be fair, because someone's going to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, folks, again, look, give us your thoughts. Who do you think who would you take in this scenario? Who do you think the Cowboys might take in this scenario? We're more than happy to discuss. So, Jamie, I went with one last trade, and I know this is absolutely going to kill you, so I absolutely fleeced them for you to get this trade done. The San Francisco 49ers call us and offer a third and a fourth round pick. The fourth round pick, which has been moved to the back end of the fourth round, so that's why they're giving us the third as well. And in that scenario, with the extra third and the fourth round pick, you can get Troy Franklin, the wide receiver. You get Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. You get Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan. You get Xavier Thomas, the edge rusher out of Clemson. And you get Cedric Van Pran, your center out of Georgia. So that's what you can pick up. Or somehow Talisa Fuaga has fallen to 31. You get him, you get Edgerrin Cooper, and you get Zach Fraser, the center out of West Virginia.
What position is Fuaga?
Fuaga is an offensive tackle.
Yeah, sorry, my head went completely. I don't know why I had him at Gad. I don't know why. Oh. I'm going to go option two.
So you're getting Talisa Fuaga, who's potentially the second or third best offensive tackle in the class. You're getting the best off-ball linebacker, and you're getting the second or third best center in this draft in Zach Fraser.
what I mean? So then it pains me even more because we all know who Cooper plays for. We don't like that school. It's just such a pain in the backside. But like you say, it's you went to Tennessee adding three starters from there. Like you said, yeah. They're almost the best players in those positions. They say you also automatically, with just two of them, you pretty much rebuild your offensive line. Like you say, there would be no need to move Tyler Smith outside. Like you say, keep him at what is probably his best position for me anyway, is a guard, I think. Is. And then you're flapping the guy there in between easily the best right guard in the game,
mm-hmm.
like you say, and then someone who's going to push his way to be the best left guard in the game. And then you've got someone to then pair up with. Fingers crossed he's back fit and healthy. So you're essentially then playing, you could say, because he obviously missed last year, but you're essentially playing two rookie linebackers that ball out in college. And mm-hmm. you hopefully find your two starting linebackers, or two of your starting linebackers for hopefully, fingers crossed, 8 to 10 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm taking that. As much as, like I say, it's tempting to gain that extra pick.
Yeah.
And then get that fourth back that we gave up. Yeah. Now, if scenario one could be interesting, if you looked at packaging that third and that fourth and moving up and getting someone else, but it depends on who's there. That might be a better scenario, but you didn't give me that one, so I'm not going to be able to have that. So, yeah, just play devil's advocate there for you, though.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening on podcast on this one, Joe has said he would trade down and get more picks for that. And that's why I like that, especially with the news which came out of San Francisco yesterday in terms they were their fourth round pick was moved to the end of the round. That's why I gave the third and fourth round pick in that scenario. Like with that trade scenario, obviously, look, you're not getting a tackle, but you're getting a wide receiver, you're getting a running back, you're getting a linebacker, you're getting an edge rusher, and again, you're getting a center for this team. You know, like I think I'd agree with you in terms of where I would go. I would stay with Fuaga, Cooper, and Frazier in that scenario myself. It's just you're definitely getting three starters in that, whereas sometimes you're not always going to get three starters out of the five.
True, but do you know what's one of the things that's probably really frustrating as well? I don't think Cooper will be there second round. I think he might go late first.
That's fair. Like the fact that we're talking about a linebacker, the first linebacker not being off the clock until we get there at 56. It's probably doing a disservice to some of the linebackers, you know, but like that, I tried to be as reasonable as possible and use as much of the, you know, combined rankings and average draft positions as I could. And that's why it kept coming back with Cooper as that second round pick.
That's excellent. I think, and I'd say not disrespect to anybody else in the draft, but he would be the one where you sit there and think, like I say, a lot of people with a lot of draft knowledge having kind of top to mid second round.
Yeah.
But like I say, because he's that, and a couple of people have got him sneaking in the first, like I say, he's the best linebacker in the draft. And it's that, like you say, how other teams perceive it, don't they, and what their needs are.
Yeah.
And like you say, I don't know, like I say, just using those for example. So he's 24 too rich, but is he then going to be there? I think he's 58. Is he going to be there at 58?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather take him there and maybe overpay a little bit in terms of draft capital?
Yeah.
Than not have a chance of getting him at all at 58? Because you're not going to be able to move him for 58 because we haven't got a possible scenario with the draft this year. So it's that, and somebody's probably going to do that, Alan. Somebody's going to probably go, do you know what? I feel comfortable taking him at the end of that first round from maybe 26 downwards.
Yeah. Like, and this is the scenario, I suppose, that we saw a couple of years ago, the CD Lamb draft, whereby we saw CD Lamb dropping, and you're like, what's going on here? A lot of people had predicted that our first round pick was going to be Trayvon Diggs. And Trayvon Diggs, everyone was there, like, why is he still around? Why is he still around? And it's one of the rare times in recent years the Cowboys haven't screwed the pooch on that second round pick. They've literally said, this guy is the best player on our board. We're taking him. And that's it. There was no red flags. There was no medical issues. They just literally said, he's the best player on our board. We're taking him. And it's worked.
And I think if memory serves me right, from the in the draft interview after obviously after the pick was made, didn't they actually say as well that that CD was in the what was their fifth was in the top five rated players on their board at the whole draft? Somewhere along the lines, it was somewhere like that.
I think they said seventh. He was the seventh ranked player in that class that they had.
And it takes a no-brainer. And if seventh best player on your board is there,
Seventeen.
If he's there 10 picks later, he's a no-brainer. You're punching that card straight away, are you?
Yeah.
You're having a conversation, but there's nobody else. You'd have to be really hard talked out when taking, say, the 15th, 16th best player on your board when someone inside your top 10 store.
Yeah. No, absolutely you would. Joe has come in and he said, look, our needs are tackle, defensive tackle and linebacker. I think that's fair, Joe. I mean, I would add in, they have a sneaky need at edge. They definitely need a running back.
Not to kind of purely pray, Brian, but we know there's a need there, and not to bang on because we know who our college team is, but there's likely going to be a nasty DT there at 58 from Texas that...
I don't think so. I think both of them are gone before.
You think they're going to be gone?
I think Murphy will be gone before our first-round pick.
But I think Murphy's top 15 easy, isn't it? 15, 16. I could be wrong. I think it's Seattle 16. I don't see him falling past Seattle, even though they've just obviously picked up Hankins.
Yeah. In the draft, the first round draft that myself and Mike did last week, Byron Murphy went at 15 to the Colts.
Who's 16?
16 was Troy Fautano.
Which team?
16 was the Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't see him going past there. Just what they're doing and how they like to have their defenses set up, and I think he'd be a perfect fit in Seattle.
Yeah. So that is it, Jamie. We got it wrapped up nice and early tonight.
Anything
else before we get off?
Sorry, what would I with my?
I said anything else before we get off?
No, God no. Just let's just hope that the Cowboys do something as free agency builds up. Let's hope draft night isn't or draft weekend isn't a complete washout, and we no disrespect to the group of last year, but we don't have back to back drafts where it's like, my gosh, we absolutely screwed the pooch, because to be fair, we actually did last year.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't do that again.
Yeah. like you're hoping that 2024 you're going to see all of those guys improve at least 20%, if not more.
Yeah.
And you get a really strong draft class this year as well. Like in the time Will McClay has been in the building, the Cowboys haven't had two bad drafts back to back.
Which is something to know.
But as look, folks, be sure to follow us on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our Facebook group, and our YouTube channel as well. As we say, we can see that there's plenty of people tuned in through through the Twitter account, but we can't get comments in from you guys. So we do ask that you give us a follow or subscribe to us on YouTube just to get through and interact with us. Like we love when people interact. The likes of Steve, the likes of Joe, DJ Dog are always involved, they're always commenting, they're always putting in their ideas. And that's what we want, because otherwise this is just a conversation between myself and Jamie. And you know, we love each other. We really do. But you know, sometimes we get tired of each other.
Yeah. That's putting it politely.
Yeah. You're still blackout with me after Sunday. Top of the table, Jamie. No one even cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, before we get out of here, we obviously have to pay the bills. So, Jamie, if you want to give the shout out.
If you're planning on going to watch the Cowboys in 2024, be sure to hit up the sponsor of the podcast, my good friends at Cowboys Experience, for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets. Absolutely amazing experience. We went on the group trip last year. You will not regret it. And if you're going to go as well, make sure you use the promo code on screen of UK Cowboys, because you will get what, Brian?
You'll get Rich Jones' favourite item, chocolate pudding.
Free stuff.
And you will get free stuff. But as always, Mike and the guys will be back here at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. They'll be discussing free agency, and hopefully, look, there'll be a few additional players coming through the doors of the Dallas Cowboys. As always, it is a pleasure, and I leave the last word with the Godfather. It's a good night from me.
Right. No, thank you everybody for tuning in. Stay safe for the rest of the week. And remember, the draft is coming up, so get your comments in on the groups, on the Twitter, and let's see what you're hoping for the Cowboys as the draft day gets ever closer.
And we'll give our great friend Meg a shout out. Dallas forever.
Philly for never.